opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Luck hit as he throws, and it's intercepted on the sideline. Both feet down for Gilchrist, and Marcus has come up with his sixth career interception. And the Colts have turned it over five times, and the Jets' best first two games in franchise history in terms of turnovers, 10 in the first two games.
Did you think he's, being sped up because the offensive line just doesn't seem to be handling the blitz maybe as well as you would like?
You know what? I'd have to sit down, honestly, and have a conversation. I don't think so. I think, you know, that's been the case for 3 years now, has it not? You know, so he should be more than comfortable dealing what he's dealing with. We got to get it fixed.
Well, that was ugly. Monday Night Football, that is. Not your Astros. Hey, let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday when you guys are usually in a bad mood, so get over it. It's a beautiful day outside. There's lots of great stuff to look forward to. We all woke up this morning, at least those of us who are either talking or listening to the show.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great.
Okay. We got to, before I came to work today, I was at the gym, and this is a disgusting way to start off the show, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Be disgusting. It's your show. You can do whatever you want.
So I'm walking into the restroom to pee, and at the same time, a dude tries to, like, kind of squeeze by me. You can tell he's in an obvious hurry.
Yeah? In the gym?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, in the restroom, like in the locker room.
Okay.
In a hurry to get to the toilet.
Right.
And he wings the door open, and, I mean, it almost sounds like he wouldn't have made it, but there's splashing and groaning and grunting. Is it allowable for a grown man to laugh at that?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I thought.
Because what else are you going to do? Otherwise, you're going to probably be smoked out of there, right?
Dude, there are very few things funnier than that. And this dude, it was obnoxiously loud, like, and then combined with, like, the splashing and
right.
the farting sound. I mean, it was such a vile-sounding experience. It sounded like he was giving birth. And
well, I like farts.
I could not help it. I mean, I even tried to muffle my laughter. But I just couldn't. I could not contain it all. I was able to get out of the locker room, like out of the actual area where the toilets are, into the sink before I really started laughing. But I find that to be the best. I mean, it's hard to beat those sounds when it comes to humor. You remember how I was saying, and I don't want to bring it up again, but there was something that I got in trouble for laughing for a month or two ago.
Yeah,
and I said it's not that I want to find it funny. My body just can't help it. If my body finds it funny, and I involuntarily laugh, that's one of those things. Add that to the list.
Fart humor doesn't do anything for me, but something like that, an actual human being in distress,
it's too good.
I find that amusing. I'm sorry. I'm the guy that
loves the why you don't juggle bowling balls because your kid gets crushed with a bowling ball. Those are the kind of things I find amusing. So something like that, yeah, I would have laughed.
The greatest thing is, and as you know, I mean, unless it's a full-on emergency, I don't use public toilets for number two.
Right.
And I'm just sitting there thinking.
But that could be you, because if you only use those for that.
Yeah, this guy, it must, I mean, there was no question this was an emergency, just based on the sounds that it made. But the funniest thing about it is, I know that there's single-ply toilet paper in there, and that is not going to get the job done. I mean, there is no way that's going to get the job done. Hmm. So I kind of felt bad for the guy, but at the same time, he made my day.
Well, there you go.
Dylan says it's that pre-workout dump. No question. I mean, it is. It's always dangerous, and that's what I risk by going straight to the office from the gym, because you could feel that rumble once you take that pre-workout. It starts to grumble in you, but I've gotten pretty good at fighting it. Some people don't have that gut discipline, and this guy clearly was in over his head.
Well, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do in an emergency? You just push yourself by somebody and, you know, you bust a grumpy as noisily as possible and you deal with it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you would think you'd try at least to be somewhat quiet.
Well, yeah, especially if somebody saw me going in there and running in
there. Right. Like, the guy shouldered past me and then tried to use his shoulder to open the stall door, then realized it was a pull, so he had to, after trying to bump it open, he had to pull it open, and you could hear him fumbling with the lock, and then pretty much, yeah, but with much more like this guy sounds like relieved. This was more like pained, like.
Yeah. See, in that instance, I just keep my mouth shut. It's gonna be funny enough with the splash.
Trying to bite down on your t-shirt collar.
I'm not adding the groan to it.
Oh boy!
No, well,
flush the toilet twice, once for the bulk, and again for the remainder.
I can't imagine this. I mean, this poor dude. And based on the noise that it made, I assume that he had splash up, you know?
Yeah.
Which is the worst, especially in a public situation.
Because there's no telling what else is coming up there.
So
bat guana, you name it.
Yeah. So that was my laugh of the day.
Well, good. I'm glad.
I really enjoyed it.
I'm glad you were able to take pleasure in someone else's.
Oh, I love it. I love to think about that guy having to go to work, and he's still not necessarily clean. Because of that single ply toilet paper.
Oh, you know he's probably.
And I know.
You know what he probably had to do was get out when no one was there, go up and get paper towels and clean them off.
Oh, and this is why.
And D. Brown.
You guys can laugh at me all you want for carrying around wet wipes in my backpack or in my gym bag. Laugh it up. But this is a situation that I never run into. If the emergency happens, you're going to want something better than single-ply toilet paper, and I'm always packing, man. Always packing that wet wipe.
Hmm.
Do not go in there. Woo!
Well.
the only thing that could have been funner, and ATX Over Girl says, but when you go in there, think you'll be alone, and just as someone walks in, there's no hiding it. Yeah. Can you imagine? And I think the toilets are almost always open at the gym because I think most people like me find that to be just a disgusting environment.
Yeah.
And that's a toilet that no sane human would want to sit on. But can you imagine if that guy who was shouldering past me to get into the restroom, can you imagine if all three stalls had been locked?
Oh.
What the situation would have turned into?
Oh, man, the sink would have gotten sprayed, right?
There was literally no time. Now people are about to tell us to talk about sports. I get it.
We'll do it next segment. What the hell? So that was the whole first segment.
That was the first segment, yeah.
Oh, man.
We'll talk about the ineptitude of the Colts. And, I mean,
D.
Speaking of crap.
Yeah, we got plenty to talk about.
Yeah, it's a nice transition. So
this guy laid a bigger third than Andrew Luck, which is basically what I was rolling that into.
Not technically if it was splashing. It's not a bigger one. It might be more volume.
Yeah.
But it's not a bigger actual turd.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on weight, right?
No, but I mean, if we're talking liquid.
Are you talking about mass or weight?
Well, to me, liquid itself doesn't count as an actual turd.
Okay. We'll agree to disagree.
Well, but what are you going to do? You're going to glue it all back together or something? And no, say, oh, but look, I mean, look at this gigantic floater.
It is what it is, Fred.
How do you draw me into this crap, literally? Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. And before we splashed off in the wrong direction there, we were going to talk a little bit about the game last night. And you heard Pagano at the top. Mentioning that, and I think he was saying the offensive line's been crap for 3 years. Isn't that what he was?
See, so now it's kind of what it came across.
You know what every reference is going to be now.
Yeah, I get it.
I can't help it. Now you've done this.
He makes a good point because it has been, but at the same time, it's him trying to deflect onto someone else. I mean,
yeah, that's Fred, that whole Grigson thing with him is not working out, and you know, I think, frankly. The GM's done a poor job putting talent around the guy. The coach isn't doing a very good job either.
That's the thing. I mean, in the GM, it's an easy, you know, guy to blame. And I understand why you would want to do that because it's easier than taking the blame yourself. But the reality is this is not a very good coach. I think you and I both said that the best coach Indianapolis had left to go coach Arizona. And, you know, the best thing that could the best thing that could have happened to Indianapolis that year was, and I know it sounds horrible, but when he got cancer, when Chuck Pagano got cancer, you saw what Indianapolis could really be under a great head coach. And Bruce Arians it wasn't because Chuck had cancer that they fought really hard. And they looked really good, looked like they were fighting really hard because they were playing for a good coach. Chuck Pagano was not a good coach.
A lot of things that came to mind watching that game last night. First off, why do you keep throwing at Darrell Revis? What on earth possesses you? And I don't know if that's Pagano or Pep Hamilton or a combination of the two, but I don't know how many times they wound up going to his side of the field.
Yeah.
And yes, you have to throw at him occasionally, but it looked like that was the game plan. Let's attack Revis. And yeah, you completed a couple on him. What else happened?
That's it. I mean, nothing good. That's it for good things. Yeah, I don't get it either.
And Andre Johnson is so done. I mean, that guy cannot get off the line of scrimmage against cornerbacks.
He's got nothing left. He's getting zero separation.
Which I guess is part of the reason why they had to keep going at Revis. But why the hell? I mean, you have a tight end, don't you? Where the hell was he?
Well, one of them went off the field. Fleener left the game early, and Allen, they just didn't go to very often. I think the Jets did a good job of changing up their blitzes. They were sending the slot corners. They were sending safeties. They were sending linebackers. I mean, they were coming from all different angles. And I think they confused Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck had a bad day. Sometimes that happens. And it was really bad on this one. You know, I'm an Andrew Luck guy. I, of course, listen, when Andrew Luck has a bad day, I'm not the only guy in the world who thinks Andrew Luck's good, okay? Go troll someone else on Twitter or Facebook or whatever you do. I don't care what you – I mean, if you don't like Andrew Luck, okay. What I always say is name a guy besides Aaron Rodgers you'd rather have over the next 5 years, and that pretty much ends the conversation. Every once in a while, someone will say something crazy. I got one last night that said – Joe Flacco, stop it. I mean, that's why you're not an NFL GM. The guy has bad games. Everybody has bad games. It doesn't take away from what he is. Remember, this dude is in the second game of his fourth year. Aaron Rodgers was just getting off the bench at this time in his career. Andrew Luck's been to two AFC championship games. So this is that kid is special, but even special quarterbacks have crappy days, and he definitely had one.
Well, I do think, though, that what we're seeing here is teams have figured out how you can give him trouble. And part of the way you do that is you blitz him up the middle and you blitz him right at him into his face where he can see you, and he tends to get rid of the ball faster. We saw that with the Bills last week. If you blitz him from behind him, he feels that really well, and he escapes that. And they're just going to have to adjust. I don't think there's any question. And if they do, then he'll be fine. But right now, they're a mess. Offensive line's a mess, and he's a mess. But I don't think it's going to last. And he wasn't very good, and he wasn't very good in week one either.
Yep.
But I don't like some of the moves they made in the offseason. I don't think spending money on Andre Johnson was the smartest thing in the world, but that's what they chose to do. And I think they should have spent their money on defense, because that defense is still bad too. But I'm not going to defend him. I don't think he played well. I think he got rattled. And you mentioned he's only 4 years in. Well, he's also 4 years in as a starter.
Yeah.
And at some point. They're going to wind up winning a bunch of games. And I'm not too worried about the Colts being 0-2, just like I'm not worried about the Seahawks being 0-2. I think those are teams that are going to, that are going to be fine as the season goes on. But I do think with the lack of leadership there, with the head coaching position and everywhere else, I don't know. I could see this team stumbling big time. I could see it spiraling
they can't,
out of control.
I'll say this, based on the post-game stuff last night, it's pretty clear that the coach and the GM aren't on the same page. Andrew Luck and the coach aren't on the same page. There's a lot of guys who aren't on the same page. And, you said the defense is bad, and they are really bad. And I still look back to what that team was doing with their first-round draft pick, taking Philip Dorsett. And listen, I think Philip Dorsett's going to be a decent receiver in the NFL.
But you already got that guy. His name's T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, that was a foolish draft pick. And when you think about the fact that there were guys like Malcolm Brown and Landon Collins and Mario Edwards who came off the board right after that, any number of those guys could have helped.
Gregory was still there.
There were a ton of guys that could have helped this team, and they went with a position where they are almost overloaded. Not almost. They are overloaded already. It was a foolish mistake, and it's not the first one that they've made drafting. And that team, from the top down, they've got a lot of concerns. But this is why I continue to say that I think Andrew Luck is so special, because that's the one non-concern. And even in a game like yesterday, I don't think Andrew Luck's going to turn the ball over four or five times every game this year. And if you do, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time worrying about that. There's a lot of things to worry about. I don't think Andrew Luck is one of them.
No, but you always run the risk of, no matter how good a guy is, you put a bad enough team around him for a long enough time, you can ruin a guy.
You can. But Fred, we say this all the time. Andrew Luck's had a bad team around him since he got in the league.
Yeah, he has, but he also hasn't had a team that has been so bad that everything fell apart, that he started getting hit harder and harder each time.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, he took some pops last night. And those are the kind of things that suddenly you start getting rid of the ball faster. You start making more mistakes. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I do think you have to worry about that. You can't just say, he's still going to be Andrew Luck if he keeps getting his ass kicked every week. That's not going to happen. He's going to get beat up at some point.
I also think that maybe there's a bit of an overreaction, because I think Buffalo and the Jets are pretty good defensively.
Oh, they are. They are. There's no question.
that may be the two best defenses he sees this year. Did he look good against them? No. He didn't do much at all in the first game, and he basically gave the second game away. But I'm not trying to defend him too damn much, because he didn't play well. But I'm also I don't think the sky is falling there either.
No, and again, it's easy to panic when you see your 0-2, and And frankly, at home, you should play better than that. I think that's the difference. We've seen him on the road in that situation against good defenses. We really haven't seen him do that at home.
Yeah.
And give Todd Bowles credit, man. They had some very good blitzes. They put a lot of pressure on. And the Colts still can't run the ball without holding. And that was the other thing, is when Gore did break runs, it was a hold every single time. And, okay, here's my frustration with – this is a very silly reason for this.
Yeah.
So last night after the show, jetted over to Front Porch Pub in Midtown because I had the Bishop's Barrel 11, which I managed to get two of them before they were all gone. They had 24. A friend of mine, Stefan, was there. He had two. I had two. So, you know, 4 out of 24 is pretty good for the table. Yeah. They were doing Monday Night Football bingo there. It was one of the most fun things I've ever done because that crap game, you cared about everything that happened.
Yeah.
So basically, I had all I needed for bingo was tight end catches a pass. So the whole game, I'm just hoping, throw to the tight end.
Any of them?
Yeah, either team. Oh, tight end catches a pass. And I got some hard ones to get. But my friend Stefan came up with some Texans bingo that we're going to do later. You know, things that happen in the game that, you know, we can play. You can set up a card, and when it happens, you try to play bingo. And they're all kind of negatives.
Yeah.
But that's all right. But how could you not throw to one tight end? I have to say that that made it a lot more fun to watch that game because you're hanging on everything. It's like, okay, show the announcers. That was one of them. Show the cheerleaders was one of them, which never happened either, by the way. But anyway, I think it was it's way too early in the season to punt on teams, even your Texans. And it's way too early to say, oh, the Jets are better than we thought. And remember last year, 2-2, the Patriots go into Kansas City and just get destroyed to fall to 2-2. Couldn't block anybody. Their offensive line was a mess. How'd their season turn out?
Yeah, they ended up all right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think, so I'm not going to overreact to it. Just like, you know, a lot of teams I expect to play. I still think the Eagles will get their act together. I know they've looked terrible for most of 2 games. I expect them to get their act together. I expect Texans to play better this week. You know, teams will adjust over the course of a season. And I think the Colts will too. I think it's going to help when they start playing some teams that can't get to the quarterback as easily, because that's when you'll see luck really do some damage. But these first 2 weeks, you know, that's two groups that can get after you, especially when you have a shaky offensive line.
I think that, like I said, I'm not panicking about that team because we've seen this before. You just mentioned last year they start out 0-2. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And the great thing about them, the same thing the Giants have going for them right now, same thing the Eagles have going for them. I would say the Texans have going for them, but the Texans haven't even shown me a flash. They play in really bad divisions. And 0-2 can quickly be reversed when you know your next game is against the Titans. So there's no need, I don't think, to worry too much about that squad.
No, but and again though, when you're supposed to win, that's when losses like this are magnified.
Now, what I will say is, you know, I'm starting to question whether or not the Colts are a championship caliber team.
Well, I never thought they were. I think they're really good. I think they're probably good enough to make it to the championship again, to the AFC championship again, but I just don't think they're deep enough across the board to be a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, it's judging on how they've played the last couple of games, it's hard to think that. All right, guys, going to tell you about DFC Interior Cleaning. You know, I tell you about these guys all the time because I've used them myself, and they do great work. You know, the kids are back in school, and the summer has been torturous to your carpets. You've been out to baseball games, barbecues, and pool parties, and it's leaving a mess on your floor more than the vacuum can handle. That's why you need to know about DFC. They'll have your floors looking like new again. They've got the best technology in the game. They don't use soaps. They don't use chemicals, which can damage your carpet fibers. It's a non-toxic patented pre-spray with super water and truck-powered equipment that can clean any surface. And that technology is what really sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they don't come back like they do with the other guys. And it's not just carpet, guys. They'll do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, all with that unique patented technology. Call right now. We'll get you a free family four-pack to the Texas Renaissance Festival with any purchase. After a long day at the Renaissance Festival doing all that fun stuff, it's great to come home to a clean home. And that begins with the brand new look and feel of clean carpets. Call 281-347-8373, 281-347-8373, or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for dirt-free cleaning.
Bears Seahawks NFL 3:30 Sunday on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Can I just say one more thing about that game? I still think if the Texans were going to sign Brian Hoyer, they should have kept Ryan Fitzpatrick. I said that at the time.
Yeah. I see why they didn't because of the injury.
I do too, but I don't think that was an upgrade.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Although it's not like... Yeah, it's not like he was great. He threw a couple up for grabs, and one of them was a fantastic interception, by the way, in the end zone. I don't know how he got both of those feet down off that tip, but he did that a couple of times, which is what he does. And the Colts weren't good enough to take advantage of it. But he sure looked pretty good again, and they're 2-0, and Texans are not.
Victor says, how do you think Andre feels right now? If I'm him, I'm feeling old.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing really went right for the offense last night. The reason Andre didn't get the ball is because Andre didn't get open. And there were a lot of times when Andre got taken off the field.
That first interception was the same thing we saw from him last year, reaching up for a ball that he had no chance of getting and tipping it in the air.
Yeah, and he's not the second best receiver on that team right now.
No, Dante Moncrief is.
Yeah.
And... You know, when they signed him, I thought, man, I like Dante Moncrief. I think he's going to be really good. You really want to take, you know, targets away from him for a guy who's probably done. And, oh, well. And Texas says, why do some quarterbacks get passes? Luck is a turnover machine and shouldn't get a pass for that. He's a good quarterback, but let's not say he doesn't have a good team around him. Well, no, he doesn't have a good team around him. I mean, honestly, his offensive line is well below average. Frank Gore is old. I mean, he could still run a little bit, but every time he got a hole, it was because there was a holding call.
Well, Frank Gore also gave away 6 points last night.
He did. And, well, you know what? I think that was as much on the handoff as it was on Gore. If you go back and watch it.
I mean, he made it all the way around the corner.
But he also kind of got it behind him. He never quite had the ball tucked away because it was a stretch play. I think that was as much. And I don't know whose fault that was necessarily, but it did look like it was kind of. That he never really had the ball tucked away. But all that aside, yes, you've got a really good tight end in Fleener who wasn't out there last night. You've got a really good receiver in T.Y. Hilton. But they don't have a lot of good players. And I always say this, at 21 other positions, the Texans are considerably better than the Colts. They're just not better at the one that matters.
Yeah.
And as bad as the Texans' offensive line look, I still think they're better than what the Colts are throwing out there.
Could be.
And, you know, so, yeah, I think he has a lot to do with their success. But you can't give him passes for some of that stuff. But I also got, you know, it's one of those you got to give the Jets some credit for forcing some of those things. And the Jets had a very good plan. They executed it. They got in his face. And, you know, any quarterback is under pressure is going to have his bad moments. Now, the great ones, you know, they're going to throw interceptions too, but they're not going to throw that many. And he's got to protect the ball better when he takes off running too. And that's another thing. And you're 4 years in now. You've got to protect the
question.
Football.
No question.
Those are little things that you can get better at. But I'm not giving him a pass because I don't think he played well at all.
He played horrible. But here's the thing: to call him a turnover machine in general, I don't know if there's a guy in the league who's more of a percentage of his team's offense. I mean, especially now this year, he should conceivably be less because. Even an old Frank Gore is a better running back than what they've had.
But you know what, though? And it's the same thing we saw with the Texans Sunday. It doesn't matter who you put at running back. If your offensive line is getting blown backwards on running plays, it doesn't matter.
No.
If Arian Foster had been there Sunday, they weren't going to be any better. There was no place to run. And I think we saw that a little bit last night.
He last year had 16 interceptions, which, you know, when you say that number, it sounds high. I mean, it's basically one a game. But it's one more than Peyton Manning had. It's one less than Drew Brees had. It's two less than Rivers had. I mean, it's...
How many fumbles?
I don't know. I'd have to look that
up. That's the one thing that...
But
when you add those, it's like Jay Cutler. You look at his interceptions, they don't look as bad either until you look at all the fumbles he had on top of it.
Right. Well, here's the difference. You know, Jay Cutler scored 28 touchdowns last year. Andrew Luck scored 40. If you score 40 touchdowns, 16
years... You threw 40 touchdown passes. Yeah, you didn't score 40 touchdowns.
Okay, if you throw 40 touchdown passes, which, by the way, is more than everybody else in the league, you can fade some turnovers.
You can, but you also don't want to have over 20.
I agree with that.
And that's why I asked about the fumbles, because I don't think you can just ignore those.
The instant throwback to that is, well, Aaron Rodgers does it. Well, Aaron Rodgers is the best. Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the league. So anybody you compare to him, yep, they suck compared to Aaron Rodgers. But I think there are, again, I ask everybody the same thing. Who would you rather have over the next 5 years besides Aaron Rodgers?
Well, if J.J. Watt could play quarterback.
Okay.
That would be it.
Luck had 13 fumbles last year.
Yeah, fumbles lost?
No, fumbles total.
How many fumbles lost?
I'll look that up.
Yeah, okay. I think it was six or seven, which, you know,
it's a big number. There's no denying.
No, and part of that is the way they use him, because he does take off running, and that's a big part of their offense.
Well, they encourage him to,
And that's great. But he also, and we saw it last night, just didn't protect the ball very well when he took off. And at this stage of his career, I'd like to see those eliminated. I really would. And I think eventually they will be. Hey, go back and look at Aaron Rodgers' first year, how many turnovers he had. And I'm not just counting interceptions. I'm talking fumbles, too.
Yeah.
He didn't protect the ball very well. And look at where he is now. Guys, great quarterbacks will make some mistakes like that early in their career, and then they learn how to protect the football, and he's learned better than anybody.
You seeing four?
No, I see four recovered by his team. So okay, nine.
So he lost nine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's too many.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think that, I just think those are things that he needs to get better at. But again, the more you get hit, and the more that's what worries me about any quarterback. If he just keeps getting hit like that, hard enough to lose fumbles, you worry about that long term. There is a cumulative effect. I've seen good quarterbacks that suddenly can't play anymore, and that would be a concern. But I think people just need to relax and, you know, wait till next week when he goes out there and throws for 400, and then everybody, oh, he's back. Well, he never really left. He just had a couple of bad games against some really tough teams. 713-780-ESPN. You want to do this interview when we come back?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right. You talked to your regurgitator.
I talked to the professional regurgitator. Well, Stevie Starr is his name. We'll hear from him next.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Joining us now on the program is a man that wowed me during America's Got Talent this season, and I've not often been impressed by a lot of what goes on that television show, but Stevie Starr was a special act, and he joins us now on the program. Steve, how are you, man?
I'm great, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, my pleasure. What was the experience like for you doing AGT? I know I was reading that you've done a lot of these talent shows around the world.
How, was the American version, was it any different for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this one was like the biggest one I've ever done, you know, especially viewers-wise, and working in Radio City Music Hall was incredible, having 5,000 people there on the live shows. That was amazing.
Now, I know that you you had been on Stern Show before back in the 80s. I'm a big Stern guy myself. He actually got me into watching America's Got Talent. When you knew that he was a judge on the show, did you expect him to remember your act?
Well, what happened was when I did my first audition, the production team had said to me, don't say anything to Howard when you walk on stage. And also I had worked with Howie Mandel as well in Montreal years back. So they had said, say nothing when you go on stage, Stevie. So as soon as I walked on stage, both Howard and Howie said, oh my God, the Regurgitator, it's so cool to see you're still going.
How long have you been doing this trick?
On stage for just over 30 years.
And what happened at an early age that made you get into this? I mean, this seems like such a strange talent to figure out that you have.
I lived in a children's home in Scotland, and I used to swallow my pocket money as a kid and hide it from the other children.
Were you always certain you could get it back up?
Yeah, I mean, I was only like 5 or 6 years old at the time, so when you're that age, you don't think about danger, you know? But I just kept coughing, and the little coins just kept coming up again.
Now, I mean, to be able to regurgitate things is, I guess, pretty cool on its own, but the way you're able to manipulate them once they are inside you is what's impressive to me. You know, what is it?
I mean, I did the Guinness Records, and I had to swallow 10 half-dollar coins, you know, those big half-dollars?
Right.
And each one of those had a different date, and I had to bring back whichever coin date was asked for. And as long as I can swallow them in order that I want them in, then I can choose which one to bring back again.
Now, I mean, what do you imagine the inside of your stomach looks like? I was talking to my wife. I said, maybe he's got like a little leprechaun in there or something. Do you feel like your stomach is built differently than the average man?
No, I mean, I've been checked by doctors and professors and scientists, and they said, basically, you've learned to train your muscles, you've got incredible control, but your inside is just like anyone else, absolutely no different, nothing taken out, nothing put in. So I'm like you and me, we're both the same.
Are you ever concerned that you're going to swallow something and not be able to get it back up?
Absolutely not, because I know my limits, you know, so I know how far it can go.
Now, when you did swallow the fire, the gas, late in the, in, I guess that was on the final episode...
Yeah.
I mean, when you're able to swallow that and then basically blow to show that you did not have the gas in your mouth, is there like a limit of how long you can keep that gas inside your body before it starts to have negative effects?
Not really. The lighter gas can stay in there for, say, 30, 40 minutes, and then I'll start releasing it.
What is the...
I don't actually inhale it. It goes into my esophagus, where I can open it and close it when I choose.
What is the largest item you've regurgitated?
The largest item would be the pool ball, you know, the snooker ball.
Right.
That's the biggest.
And have you ever done more than one of those, or is only one can only one fit inside of your stomach?
I've only tried one. Maybe that's an idea, actually. You got me thinking about that now.
My wife was asking me what I was going to ask you, and I said I was going to give you an idea, and I've got a great idea for you to do a regurgitation with. I saw you do some things, like I saw you do the egg, and you brought the egg back up raw, and then I saw you do the fish. And I said, how cool would it be if he swallowed a kitten, a baby cat, and then you swallowed a collar and then put the collar on the cat and then hacked up the cat?
Yeah, that would be cool. You just imagine that.
I think that's your next challenge. I think that would be a great one. What are the plans for you now? Obviously, you're getting a lot of attention from the show, and you know, are you planning a world tour?
Before I did America's Got Talent, I had been coming to America for 30 years. I usually come over twice, 3 times a year, and perform around all the universities in America. So I do a 1 hour show, and I go in and perform for the students around the American colleges and universities.
Now,
I've been doing that for about 25 years.
Is that what you plan on continuing to do?
Yes, I've got an American University tour coming up next month.
When you make it to the finals, and then when you're up there in the top five, did you look around at the other four contestants, and what was your thought? Did you think, man, I've really got a chance to win this thing? What was your mindset?
I don't know. I was just up there, and the thing that went through my mind was, I can't believe that I'm up here in the top five from something like 40,000 people who had auditioned to begin. And I thought, wow, what a way to go, you know, from over 40,000 people, and here I am in the top five.
Who was the guy in the top?
That was amazing, just that alone.
Who was the guy in the top five with you that you were most impressed by?
You know what? I liked every single act that was there. You know, we got on with each other really well before the show, during the show, and we were just ourselves in between the shows, you know, having fun. And but I couldn't really say that there was one favorite that I liked. I just thought everyone was unique in what they did themselves.
When they announced that you come in fourth place, what's the feeling that overcomes you?
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant, and I was so delighted because I got so much support from Heidi Klum when I was on there. She was talking about me on different shows, you know, like Jimmy Fallon and some of the Project Runway that she does, you know. Every show that she went on, she would start talking about the regurgitator. So that was great to get all that support.
So even without a win, do you feel like this was a positive experience for you?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And when I look at my Instagrams, Twitter, and Facebook, I can see that from the American public because they're all tweeting and they're all saying, we can't believe you did not win America's Got Talent. You were the most original on there. It's the best America's Got Talent we've seen in all the years it's been on. And I actually had some people so disappointed that said, I'm never going to watch America's Got Talent again because you didn't win.
I will say,
quite funny.
Between you not winning and Howard leaving, I don't think I will be watching America's Got Talent again.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame Howard's gone, really. I like Howard. He's a lovely guy.
But it was amazing to see what you can do. I look forward to catching you when you tour in the U.S. Do you plan to do any more of these talent shows and try to continue to get closer?
At the moment, I'm not too sure. I'm just concentrating on doing my live performances at the moment. So it depends what comes up. You know, we'll wait and see what happens.
Are you surprised you haven't got a call from a casino in Vegas who's looking to put you on for a month or two and just see what you can do?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's early days. Yeah, I only did it last week. You know, it's been less than a week since I've been back, you know, so it's still early days. You never know. I actually had people text me yesterday and say, oh, we just watched the finals. So not everyone watches it on the night.
Does it bother you that people kind of question whether or not your act is real? There are people who are like, there must be some sort of trick to it. Or do you just kind of shrug that off?
No, it don't bother me because I can understand where people are coming from. Here's a man that goes on stage. He swallows a glass of sugar. He drinks a glass of water. He brings his sugar back dry. He swallows snooker balls. He swallows Heidi Klum's ring, then a lock and key, puts the ring into the lock, locks it and brings it back. And I can understand where people are coming from because it's very, very, very hard to swallow. Did you get it? Hard to swallow?
I got it. That is Stevie Starr, the professional regurgitator. You can follow him on Twitter at regurgitatorss. I appreciate you taking some time for me, Stevie. Best of luck
no
in your
problem.
Career,
Thank
man.
You
you're a fascinating act, and I hope to see you do well, man.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
All right. That's Stevie Starr. Appreciate it.
So we started with poo and end with regurgitator. Maybe should have had him regurgitate.
It's an
whatever
interesting
that
first
guy.
Hour.
Yeah. I need to tell you, we're having lunch Thursday at Wingstop in Katy on Fry Road from 12:30 till 1:30. Pick up some wings and make sure to register to win U of H, Rice, or Texas tickets, station gear, or Wingstop gift cards. Wingstop is the preferred wings of ESPN 97.5. So, 5 o'clock, we'll do our rankings. 5:15, I want to talk a little Astros. 5:30, Jerome Solomon will be here. So,
our college rankings.
Yes, our college rankings.
Better get mine.
Yeah, you better get going on that. And it is a local music Tuesday, so we play nothing but local bumper music. And if you've got a band and you've got some music, I've got a couple new things that people sent me, but they won't make it till next week. Just email me, fower975@gmail.com. John, will you tell people who we played this hour?
We started off with Some Nerve, and then we moved on to with Koi Pond, Rogue Among Us, The Band Hennessy, The Eskatones, and This Is Truck Stop.
All right. I guess I got to tell you about FanDuel here, don't I? Guess what we're doing again this week? Another FanDuel contest. 27 people already signed up. So if you want to get in, I have to tell you, you better jump in pretty quick because these have filled the last 2 weeks with 250 people. And $200 of the winner, it only costs you $5, and you can be the top blitzer of the week. And if you haven't tried out FanDuel yet, got to tell you, it's the leader in one-week fantasy football. More winners, more payouts than any other site. They're paying out over $75 million a week this football season. It's easy to build a team. You just pick your players, stay under the salary cap, sit back, and watch them roll. It's that simple. And you can win. You can be a winner. You can get money out of this just like RT Mule did last week. Took $200 down with 172 points, beating JY Fly and B Weed 88. That might be the best name. But anyway, FanDuel.com/Fowr, F-A-O-U-R, $5 league. Jump right in there. Get signed up now. If you're new to FanDuel, you haven't played before. And by the way, if you don't want to play for $5, you can play for a dollar. You can play for as little as a dollar. You can play for hundreds if you want to. It's whatever your budget is. And take that $200 you win beating up on the blitzers and go play some big dogs. All you have to do, go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code FOWR, and sign up now. There's a special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel's going to match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code FOWR today. Don't forget to use the code F-A-O-U-R. And if you're already on FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/F-A-O-U-R. Get signed up now. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. Sign up today.
Third floor, she's waiting there for me. Throw her the wink, give it the pin, get her to sign it.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.